Hello and welcome to Backline Banter, episode 7. This episode in store, it possibly might be a little bit a shorter one, but we've got the Premier League summary, Liverpool experience, the deep Darwin dive is back after a couple episodes missing out, and we will have some blind ranking at the end, just, you know, nice little fun thing to put at the end. And as well, on one of the games, I mean, I'll tell you now, the Man United versus Manchester City game, I've got one of my mates who is a Man United fan to speak a little bit on that game. I asked him to do a prediction, just his thoughts on the game prior to it. So I'll play that audio when we talk about the City United game and then have a bit of a laugh, a discussion about it after, and then run you through the highlights on that one. So something different, I just thought, spice up the podcast a bit. Also too, with the Premier League summary, trying something a little bit different this time. I've chosen 5 games where I'm going to talk how I normally do about all the chances, thoughts on the game. And then the other 5 games, I'll just talk about the result, who were the goal scorers, and did I think that's a fair result or not. And also, before we get into it, it is a bit similar to other ones. It's still quality this episode, of course, as you'd expect from your boy. But I do have something in the works, and if it still goes ahead, it will change this podcast forever, but in such a good way. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil it, but what we got in the works, it's going to be a good addition. So without further ado, we will start off with the Liverpool experience. Nottingham Forest 0, Liverpool 1. Wow, this game was one of those games where you need to win when you're going for the Premier League title, that's for sure. And we got over the line and did exactly that. Darwin Núñez, what a player, the absolute goat, comes on and rescues the 3 points for us in a 90th plus 9 minute winner, which is recorded as the latest winner for Liverpool ever. Yeah, just what a game. It was really good to watch. I thought Forest played really well as well. Liverpool were solid, not as good as their standards, like they played against Chelsea and like they have been playing in the Premier League, but still a decent game and managed to get the job done in the end, which is the main thing. Doesn't matter how you get the 3 points, as long as you get them. I always believed we'd get that winner, but it just, you know, the game went on and time, you know, slowly running out. It was a bit like, oh, surely not. Surely this doesn't end 0-0. I don't think we've had a scoreless game in a long time, or at least we've had at least one, but in the past, that Man United Liverpool game. But in the past, however many games, it's only been about 1-0-0. And thankfully, Darwin Núñez comes on and does it. And of course, we'll touch on him a little bit more in the deep Darwin dive and talk about his performance, because game changer there, that is for sure. So I will run you through the lineups of this game. So for Liverpool, Kelleher in goals, obviously Alisson still injured, and Kelleher, wow, what form he is in. It is insane. Genuinely, when Alisson comes back from injury, it will definitely be a bit of a hard battle for Alisson to get his number one spot back, because Kelleher at the moment on fire. No doubt in my mind, the best number two in the world. Obviously, you know, the obvious ones, oh, Ramsdale. Nah, Kelleher is better than Ramsdale. Have you watched him the past few games? Wow, incredible. And he always is for us, really. And yeah, what a keeper. Right back, Connor Bradley, of course. 2 centre backs, Konate, Van Dijk. Left back, Robertson. And now in the midfield, a very different one. One you've never seen before due to just all the injuries. You know, Gravenberch going down against Chelsea, and Endo also picking up an ankle injury in that game. He was wearing a boot after the Chelsea game, but he's in the squad on the bench, just needed a little rest and was unable to start. So the midfield 3, we've got McAllister, Joe Gomez, and Bobby Clark for his first senior start. Joe Gomez, wow, he played unreal in the performance today. Of course, sitting in that bit of a sixth role, bit deeper, that defensive midfielder, pretty much what Endo does. And I mean, you saw at the start of the game too, he slots in into that defense a little bit more as well, because of course, he's more used to that, being in that back line. But yeah, I thought he played unreal, to be honest, to be put in a midfield position. Of course, not his preferred position, just like so many players have done recently, because we have lost so many players. Genuinely, I think it's about 11 we've got out due to injury. Yeah, it is crazy. Like, obviously, Alisson, Doak, Jones, Jota, Matip, Salah, Gravenberch, Bezetic, Thiago, and Trent. And you just think, too, a very good thing as well, we got Szoboszlai and Nunez back. They started on the bench, of course. So, Gomez playing beautifully in the position that Klopp needed him to do. And yeah, again, did a great job, just played those passes. Genuinely, if you didn't know that he wasn't primarily, you know, a fullback slash center back, just in that back line, you wouldn't have noticed. You'd be like, yeah, he's just a midfielder week in, week out. But yeah, done an unreal job. Bobby Clark too, I mean, did exceptionally well, in my opinion, for his first start. Of course, the first start for any team, especially Liverpool, you know, always just a little bit nervous. Or will I fit in? You know, I've got to start the game off well so the team starts well. And again, he played well. He just looked like he's been doing it for a season. I'd say, yeah, it didn't look as calm as a year, but nah, did a great job, just like Gomez. Wow, our youth academy is doing very, very well at the moment. Well, it's always been doing well, but at the moment, it is shining, that's for sure. And Bobby Clark, great job, lad. For the forward line, exactly like the Chelsea game, Diaz left wing, Gakpo up front, and Harvey Elliott right wing. I thought they did pretty well. Obviously, we couldn't find the goal till late on, but none of them really having massive chances. This was just a difficult game to score in general and needed a little bit extra flair up front, but a solid job nonetheless. For Forest's team, they had Sells in goals, Nico Williams, the ex-Liverpool player, in at right back, Omar Bamadele, Murillo as the two centre backs, Toffoli at left back, Dominguez and Yates, defensive midfielders, and another ex-Liverpool man, Divock Origi, in the attack, along with Gibbs-White, Hudson-Odoi, and Alanga. So, a pretty solid team, pretty familiar in general, apart from no Awoniyi and Omar Bamadele coming in at that centre-back role. I would have thought, definitely, Awoniyi starts, but I suppose Divock Origi, playing well recently, earned his spot above him. But I don't know. In my opinion, I feel like Awoniyi up front is just so much more of a threat than Origi, Alanga. Like, his physical presence is second to none, really. And he can finish him as well. I think he's been in pretty good form this season. And yeah, I thought, unlucky not to make the starting lineup. But like I said earlier, for the Liverpool bench, Endo on the bench, Szoboszlai and Nunez as well. So good to see Szoboszlai and Nunez make an appearance in this game. Nunez came on the 60th minute and Szoboszlai in the 76th. There were talks in the game, because obviously it was 0-0 at that stage, of course. Will Klopp bring on Nunez and Szoboszlai? Because obviously starting senior players, just coming back from injury, you don't really want to put him out there for too long or even risk it, to be honest. I think Klopp's ideal situation would have been not even using him or using them in like the last 5 minutes just to get him a bit of a run round, possibly a touch or two. But we needed it and Klopp made the perfect call, bringing on Nunez and Szoboszlai just gave us that so much more attacking threat. Like, I'd speak on it in the deep Darwin dive, but when Nunez came on, wow, we were attacking so much better. And like Klopp said before the game, we can't take these ones for granted. You know, these games are just as hard as any other and just as important as the others. So we needed to risk them in a way, I guess. You know, they all have been given the clear and Klopp's probably been told, second half, they can come on. So he does just that, and very, very good decision by him. Of course, just what you'd expect from Klopp, just so experienced. And so sad that this is his last season, but you never know, you never know. There are some chats of him possibly staying for another one, but we'll see anyway. So into the highlight. Forest with the first chance of the game, you could say. 14th minute, Divock Origi gets the ball out wide, just drifts into the middle, has space, and absolutely laces a shot just wide to the left. If that was on target in the corner, yeah, I reckon that would have gone in, but just wide from him. But Liverpool reply 2 minutes later. Diaz receiving the ball from Robertson outside of the box, takes a touch and just tries to rocket it near post, but deflected from Omobamadele for a corner. If it didn't get deflected, Sells probably would have saved it, because I don't think the near post was really on. Probably the far post curler was the better choice, but he went for it and we get a corner from it. But nothing comes from that corner. Now, one of the biggest chances of the game. So, the 22nd minute, Origi plays the ball in behind to Elanga, one-on-one on the goalkeeper, but Kelleher with a fantastic save by his foot. Just perfect goalkeeping there, really. I don't think anybody who's a keeper will tell you he did anything wrong there. He came out, didn't dive too early, didn't let Elanga know which way he's going, and then when he did the shot, stopped it beautifully. Although, if it did go in, I believe he would have been offside. I'm pretty confident he was definitely offside. It was closer than I thought at the start, because when he got played the ball through, I was like, nah, it's offside. But looking at the replays, it looked like he was only just offside. But you've got to say now, Elanga, he's very, very good running in behind. Does a beautiful job at that. Beautiful, making some chances. But he just needs to work on and improve his final pass, his shot right at the end. Because once he gets that right and once it clicks, wow, he is going to be a massive threat. Of course, he's a threat already. But if he gets his shooting right, his last pass right, he is going to score a goal a game kind of thing. Because he gets a few chances, but a fair times and a lot lately, he just can't get them right. But a lot of potential there, and I do hope he lives up to it, because I do like Elanga. I love how he's moved away from Man United, because so many players at Man United, so high potential, but they just decide to stay there. You know, they're on high wages, living life good, but a lot of them not getting a lot of minutes. So he went, no, I'm leaving, going to Forest, getting a lot of minutes there and looking good. 26th minute, Connor Bradley on the right for Liverpool, runs down, goes a little bit into the box, looks for that cutback, plays it beautifully into space, top of the box, Bobby Clark runs onto it, hits it, but doesn't connect with it properly, really. He doesn't get the cleanest touch on it, but it still goes forward, is blocked by a Forest player, goes to Diaz, takes his shot, but Murillo does beautifully to get in front of him and just block the shot and goes over the crossbar. Very close there, but Murillo with some great defending. Right near the start of the second half, Harvey Elliott has the ball on the right, plays a beautifully timed ball to slip in Connor Bradley in the box, who once again cuts it back and it falls all the way to Robertson, who has a shot and is just saved off the line by Omobamadele. What a block. It's going in goal, but he's on the line. He stops a definite goal. Liverpool so close, but just like the theme of the game, can't get there. Forest with a big chance. Once again, just like the first half, even though I thought Elanga's chance would have been offside if he scored. This time, Awoniyi gets played the ball in the box, does beautifully to hold it up. Like I said at the start, his physical presence is amazing. He plays it back to Yates, who just does a beautiful bowl all the way across the box to find Alanga by himself. He takes it first time, the goal at his mercy, and just misses it wide. Goes for the far post, and yeah, just wide. He's got to score there, in my opinion. He did the right thing by taking it first time, because if he took a touch, Gomez would have just closed him down. But like professional player, he takes it first time, but he should hit the target and find the corner there. Time running out for Liverpool, 94th minute now. Tsimikas whips in a bowl from a corner, hits Nunez's head. Nunez gets a little touch on it and fires it at goal, and Sells does a beautiful save to stop it going in. But second time looking at it, Darwin does get a slight touch, but it ends up going off the back of Murillo's head, who was behind him, into the goal. But yeah, Sells a beautiful save from him to keep him level in the game. And of course, 98th minute, Szoboszlai with a corner, whips it in. Forrest heads it out, falls to Tsimikas, who takes the shot, blasts it, bounces back. And then McAllister ends up with the ball, just does a beautiful turn to look up, sees runners back post, puts in a beautiful cross. I mean, you cannot get a better cross. A beautiful floater, perfectly timed, perfectly executed, and goes to the head of Nunez, who just does beautifully to flick it on in the goal and to win it for Liverpool right at the end. Wow, absolute scenes. This goal, very familiar to the one he scored against Brentford. And wow, what a man to step up and give us the goal that we desperately needed, because this title race, we cannot afford to drop points, especially against Forest at their ground. And there's nothing better when he scores. But to score a last-minute winner, wow. Oh, mate, I can't put it into enough words, because that was, scenes, that's for sure. And these are the games you need to win the Premier League. Like, it's as simple as that. And yeah, for Nunez to do it especially, geez, what a man. You know, received so much stick, so much criticism. Some of it, like, okay, yeah, it's fair. But it's just because, you know, someone else might miss and then just be like, that's all right. But Nunez misses. Oh my gosh, look, another miss. Like, you know, for example, Salah does a miss. You just be like, oh no, you know, it's all right. You know, he's scored so many goals already. But Nunez does it. It's like, what the f? Are you joking? But yeah, wow. Darwin, oh, what a man. At full time, Liverpool 1, Forest 0. Get the job done. We keep first place and we're looking good, that's for sure. So, man of the match for Liverpool, I would give to Ibrahima Konate. He played absolutely solid, he did. We needed to defend well since we weren't scoring many goals, and he did exactly that. Smashed it out of the park. People could argue that McAllister did play better, but yes, he got the assist in the end, played the full 90, same as Konate, but I thought Konate was just solid, and centre-backs usually don't get a lot of recognition unless they score, and Konate just beautiful tackles, didn't let the man pass him, and yeah, solid, solid performance by him, and my man of the match in the Liverpool Forest game. Our next game we've got up coming next is Sparta Prague at their ground in the Europa League, of course, round of 16. This, honestly, will be a bit of a difficult game because over at their ground, the squad's still a bit small. We're trying to focus on the Premier League. There's so many games happening. And just 3 days later, when we play Sparta Prague, we play Manchester City at Anfield, which is arguably the biggest game for our season. Well, it isn't even argued. I believe it is the biggest game of our season. So I feel there we could possibly lose or maybe get a draw, because I reckon we will be resting a lot of players, playing a fair few youngsters, because we cannot afford any more injuries and we want our players fresh for the game against City, which it is going to be a massive one, that's for sure. And I'm not going to predict it now. Obviously, it is the next Premier League game we have, but I will do an episode. I believe I'm going to do a European episode. So I'll talk about some of the Champions League fixtures. So obviously, in my time on Wednesday, we've got the final leg of PSG versus Real Sociedad, you know, and other games, of course. And then Friday, the Europa League games, of course, Liverpool playing on it. So I reckon I'll talk about there and then give my prediction on the next episode. The deep Darwin dive. This one is going to be a little bit shorter because, of course, I've spoken a fair bit on Nunez already. Of course, yeah, you can't really not when he scores the last minute winner. Oh, what a player. That's beautiful. That goal gets him to 10 Premier League goals this season and 7 assists, of course. In all competitions, he's gotten 14 goals and 11 assists. So he is finding his form at the moment. Wow, what a man. Genuinely, I can't say much more on him because he is so good. Comes on in the 60th minute, scores a goal. He actually only had 10 touches. And when I saw this stat, I went, wow. I thought he had a lot more touches. And this is the thing about Nunez. His influence on the game is so big. Like, he came on straight away, went forward, gave us a chance. Obviously, didn't lead to anything. But his atmosphere is just massive. And it's not even when he does touch the ball. It's what he does off the ball to try and give the other attackers and midfield options is crazy. Like, I watch him a lot off the ball because it's just, you know, I love Nunez and I'm always thinking, and especially this game, oh, we need a score. Like, Nunez, what are you doing? Where are you going? But he made so many runs. It is crazy. And, you know, didn't get played the ball, which is fair because some of them probably wouldn't have worked out. But he was always, you know, sprinting forward, trying to break the lines, coming back, doing it again, and so on. Very good by him. Absolutely smashed it. He had 5 shots in this game. 1 on target, which obviously is goal. 3 off target and 1 blocked shot. So just a 10 out of 10 performance for me, really. His job was to go on, help the attack, possibly get a winner. And he did exactly that. Gets us the 3 points. Absolutely beautiful. Next game, we have Manchester United versus Manchester City. A very big game. And of course, it's at City, and City at the moment, of course, the better team. But with those Manchester derbies, it's always going to be a bit of a close game. Some players just play to the occasion and step up to help their team. And of course, Foden did that. Rashford did that at the start. But as I said in the intro, I did get a mate of mine who's a Man United fan to just talk a bit on the game before it was played and give his prediction. So I will play that now. Apologies if the audio is a little bit worse. It shouldn't be too bad. So here it is.
Hello guys, it is Lamy on the mic and I'm happy, very happy to be a part of Bailey's Backline Banter podcast. And today I'll be talking about the big game between Manchester United and Manchester City. Today, I'll be leaving score prediction, some big calls, and some honest reviews, and just speaking about this game ahead of us. To start off with our prediction, just about the game. Obviously, these two teams, great form, other than United dropping points to Fulham, which isn't the prettiest. As of the time, Man City are sitting at second, sitting 4 points behind Liverpool for that title race. They're looking for a big win here to be drawn wins with Liverpool. Man United sitting 6 points behind Tottenham at 5th and 2 points above West Ham at 7th. Obviously, both teams need this win, so it's going to be a massive game. United looking for that Champions League placements to play in some Europe next year, sitting at that 6th spot. With United coming off at this poor loss against Fulham, where Fulham controlled the game. Man City coming off a dominant performance against Luton Town, where Haaland kicked 5 goals in a 6-2 win. Unreal game by Erling Haaland. He has been a beautiful signing to this Premier League. Just, he's so unreal. Like, he's unbelievable. Man United, strikers have been pretty poor. Rashford's just losing confidence, not putting up the numbers we saw last season. Obviously, he has those signs, but we just need more from Rashford. Garnacho has been amazing, kicking some absolute bangers this year. Both teams are having pretty good seasons. United could be better, but they're just really inconsistent. They win against Aston Villa and Tottenham, beating these clubs, and they can't finish on the lower end teams after losing to Fulham and just losing easy points. With my score prediction, obviously, as a United supporter, I would love for Manchester United to get over the line tomorrow morning as I speak. I just don't know how they can get over it at City's home at Etihad. Obviously, City with the upper hand, better form, players are much better form as well. I just don't see United getting over the line this game. So I'm going to give the upper hand to City and go a 3-2 win, with United getting some easy goals at the start and City just coming away with a win at the end. I would love to see United win, but I just don't see it happening with the recent form from players and the club. With my big calls, I'm going to do a big call for each club. With my big call for United, I'm going to say they win, and I'll go Rashford to kick 2 to seal the game off. With my big call for City, I'm going to go Erling Haaland has another ripping game and kicks a hat-trick to win 3-0. But obviously, I'm going to stick with my real prediction and go 3-2 City. But they are my big calls for this week on the City United game. Now to wrap up, I just think it's going to be an unreal game. Obviously, these two massive clubs always are going to perform. Just depends on how United show up to the game. If they're going to put on the effort, City are always unreal. They've been unreal for years. United have been a bit inconsistent. They can either pull off a massive win or they're just going to get absolute belted. So we're just going to hope for the best with United. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up and leave you with Baz for the rest of the podcast. Obviously, we're hoping for the best for United as a Man United supporter, but I'm going to leave you there. See you later.
Thank you very much for that, Liam. Appreciate that. I thought, you know, just adds a little bit more spice to the podcast, because I'm sure you hear my voice all the time. To be honest, you probably get a bit sick of it. I know I do. So just thought I'd get one of my boys a little bit of input on it. And I thought, of course, he's a Man United fan, so he'd know best about the game. So yeah, he absolutely smashed it with that. And if you want to see more of this, just let me know. Put a comment in. Yo, mate, love the outside input. Definitely should keep it. I really like it, and possibly we'll be back for more episodes. And maybe that the little mystery edition. Ooh, I don't know. But anyway, we'll get into what he said. So he was pretty spot on with his prediction. I'll give him that. He smashed it with that. He predicted Manchester City 3 and Man United 2, and it ended 3-1, so it was pretty close, that's for sure. Man United to score early on, which they did, but of course he said score 2 early on, but mate, one close enough, and he said Rashford would get those 2 goals, and he got the 1, so pretty good from him. His other big call was Haaland to get a hat-trick, which he probably could have got a brace, but he only got 1 right at the end, so mate, For your first appearance on the pod and your first prediction, beautiful job there. And yeah, once again, want to say thanks to Loz. Absolutely smashed it. Really love the help. Really love the input. And we'll get into the highlights. First minute in. De Bruyne has the ball top of the box. And of course, it's Kevin De Bruyne. He does a beautiful little reverse pass to Alvarez in the box, who takes a touch, tries to get past the defender, does so, goes for the shot, but Casemiro, just in time, gets the ball and stops him from shooting. And what an addition, Kevin De Bruyne. I am not looking forward to him playing against Liverpool at Anfield, because, yeah, wow, what a man. Like, you just see in his position, even watching the game, I'm looking back post ooh, is there any runners? Then I just see him do just a reverse pass into the box. Wow, just Alvarez there in space. And he found it. Like, that is crazy. That's just why he's just such a good player. So aware of everything around him. Then in the 7th minute, Onana from goals boots it up the pitch to Bruno Fernandes. Calls offside for Bruno, but he wasn't. Holds the ball up a little bit, rolls it to Rashford. And wow, what a strike. Just runs onto it, laces through it, outside the box, bang, a rocket past Edison, bounces off the crossbar and in. An absolute unsavable shot. Nobody ever in the world is stopping that from going in. What a time to score a goal against City in the derby. So seems to be a massive threat in the derbies. And when you pull an absolute stunning goal out like that, you expect nothing less. And yeah, I'm just looking at that finish. And that is, oh wow, it's just beautiful. Absolute fires in and bounces off the crossbar. Makes it look even better as well. Edison, full stretch. You just can't do a better shot than that, in my opinion. Wow. 32nd minute of the game. De Bruyne whips it across. Varane gets a foot, hits it out, but it falls straight to Rodri in the box. Has a hit and beautifully saved by Andre Onana to stop it from reaching the back of the net. 10 minutes later though, oh my gosh. Rodri outside of the box, plays to Foden, who headers it back into the box. Haaland has an open goal to score. All he has to do is get a little touch to get it into the back of the net. He can volley it, he can header it, he can do whatever he wants. He just needs a little touch. He could even have just ran onto it and kind of chested it, but he gets it completely wrong. Tries to volley it and he kicks it over the bar. Genuinely, it looks like he's defending the goal and he clears it over and does really well. But he was shooting and missed the target. From Haaland, you just never expect that. I saw that and I went, wow. I couldn't believe it. Haaland, you know, missing some chances lately, but you got to take into account he's been injured. He's kind of slowly coming back. But that miss is unexcusable, really. Just, wow. I'm talking about it now, and I just still cannot believe he missed it from there. Just completely kicked it over. Like, that is a bad miss in the derby. But it does just show that even the best players can fluff up really bad, and, you know, it is what it is. In the second half, 55 minutes in, Casemiro wins it deep, plays it to McTominay, and Man United are on the break. He plays the ball to Rashford, who's running in on goal. Walker's behind him. You expect Rashford to get to the ball first, and he does, but he just kind of misses the ball and doesn't really get it, and Walker just gives him a little nudge, and he falls to ground. Definitely no foul there, in my opinion. Walker, yeah, doing very well to catch back up to him, using his pace. He's still got it. Fair play to him. But just think, Rashford, do a bit better in that opportunity. Do a bit better in that chance. But I suppose when you're running that quick, a little nudge can just push you all off balance. But he was looking for a foul, but that's never going to get given. With Man City retaining the ball, they do some nice play. The ball goes out to Doku on the left. Stones gets the ball, plays it to De Bruyne. De Bruyne to Rodri. Rodri plays it to Foden, who's on the edge of the box on the right side and just feints and takes a touch on that left side. Does another one, looks, finds some space and takes his shot beautifully to find the top left-hand corner. Another unsavable goal. He just absolutely glides past his player, finds the space and just guides the ball beautifully into the top left corner. Another stunning goal. This derby really having amazing goals. Rashford's goal was better, I thought, but Foden's goal still unreal. And 80th minute, who else but Phil Foden to score a brace to put him in front against United. Alvarez just plays Foden in the box, runs onto it, takes a touch, and then shoots past Onana to put him in front. What a player Phil Foden is. I touched on it a few episodes ago, but wow, what a man. Some people, though, thought this shot, Onana, could have done better. And I do think he could have done better. You know, he just got a fingertip on it, but just couldn't stop it enough from going into the back of the net. But Onana, he's been so good all game. And if you're being really critical, then possibly he could have got down just that little bit quicker and he would have stopped it from going in. But what can you do? Foden beautifully just runs into the box and then has a beautiful shot to find the corner to put Man City up 2-1. And Manchester United are unable to find a goal. It ends up being Manchester City scoring a late one to make it 3-1. Casemiro plays a ball to Amrabat. Amrabat, who's trying to take it under control, just can't do it. And Rodri just snatches it off him, plays it to Haaland straight away, who just does as you'd expect, rolls it into the corner from his left-footed shot. And a man who should have two goals this game, that is 100% sure, but gets on the score sheet in the end. A big mistake at the back for Manchester United with still 7 minutes to play. So say Haaland didn't score, they could have maybe had a chance to equalize it and get a point from the game. But Haaland puts it to bed and Manchester City once again wins in the derby. Manchester United not doing too bad in my opinion. They did need to make more chances because really their only goal came from a bit of brilliance from Rashford. So they needed to create more. But it's so hard to do against City and stop him from scoring because they are just unreal. But a really good game to watch. And this keeps Manchester City in second place, 1 point behind Liverpool. So again for them, they needed the 3 points and they come back in the second half to score 3 goals. And yeah, that next Premier League game, Liverpool versus City, is going to be a massive one. I cannot wait to watch it. She's going to be close and very well could be the decider for the Premier League title. So, like I said in the intro, doing Premier League summary just a little bit different today. So I said we'd do 5 games that I normally do, talk about the highlights and all that, and then 5 other games where I'm just going to talk about the scoreline and my thoughts on the result. But turns out these 2 games that I've been waffling about have taken a lot of time. So a little behind the scenes, I did the Liverpool, the Deep Darwin Dive, and the Manchester Derby on Monday, edited it, and then realized, wow, I'm already 36 minutes in on 2 games. So, bit of change of plans. I'm just going to run through the rest of the games, tell you the scoreline, the goal scorers, and my opinion on the result. The first one I will do, Newcastle 3, Wolves 0. The goal scorers in this game, Isaac in the 14th minute, Gordon in the 33rd minute and Livramento in the 92nd minute. A really good win for Newcastle at home. Of course, Wolves looking very good at the moment, I'll tell you that much. And those 3 points against Wolves push Newcastle above them in 8th place and Wolves drop to 10th. To be completely honest, you'd think Wolves put up a little bit more of a fight. I know, you know, it is at St. James's Park, but Wolves playing really well lately and Newcastle, their form, very, very questionable. But again, good win for Newcastle and they are pushing to get a European spot, sitting eighth. Only 4 points behind Man United in sixth and 2 points behind West Ham in seventh. So if they play like they did this game, then you would expect them to get a European spot above West Ham and possibly above Man United. So back to some of the best football they've played in a while, Newcastle, and a good 3 points for them against Wolves. Another 3-0 victory. Fulham 3, Brighton 0. at Fulham's ground, of course. Wilson scores in the 21st minute, Muniz in the 32nd minute, and Traore in the 91st minute. Honestly, looking at these goal scorers and when they scored, very similar to Newcastle. Isaac in the 14th minute, Wilson in the 21st, pretty close. Gordon 33rd, Muniz 32nd, and then Traore and Livramento scoring in stoppage time, 91st minute, 92nd minute. So you could say a very similar game, but you could argue Brighton unlucky not to score at all in the game. And again, just like the Wolves-Chelsea game, you do expect this game to be a little closer, especially pretty close in the table. Like, with Fulham's 3 points, they stay in 12th place and they're only 4 points behind Brighton, who are in 9th with 39 points, of course. So a really good win for Fulham. Fulham flying high at the moment. Last game, they beat Man United at Old Trafford. And then next game, they have Wolves in the Premier League at Wolves Stadium. That should be a pretty close game, to be honest. I feel Wolves do have the edge in that one, though, being at home. And I would say overall this season, Wolves have played better. But Fulham looking very good at the moment. And hopefully, and it should be a pretty close game. Brighton, a tough result for them to take, especially a 3-0 loss. It could have been a lot closer game if they took their chances. But that is not the case. And following a loss against Wolves last week, 1-0, that 6th to 10th place is only separated by 6 points. So looking very close in that mid-table / European spots, and it will be an interesting finish. And I mean, that's just why the Premier League is so good. You've got so many different battles going on. At the top, you've obviously got the Premier League title race with between Liverpool, Manchester City and Arsenal. And then you've got a little race between 4th and 5th, Aston Villa and Tottenham for that Champions League spot. And then, as I said, that 6th to 10th little race there. Even that 15th to 18th place, the last relegation spot, is only separated by 6 points. So looking very close this season in multiple areas. And yeah, she is going to be a good finish. Everton 1, West Ham 3. The goal scorers in this game: Beto in the 56th minute for Everton, Zouma in the 62nd, Soucek in the 91st minute, and Alvarez in the 95th minute. A big win for West Ham at Goodison Park. West Ham need to get the wins to stay in 7th place in the Premier League. And with Soucek's late minute winner and Alvarez to add on to it, they do the job. But somebody who does deserve recognition in this West Ham team, in their performance against Everton, Areola. A big, big performance by him. 9 saves, saved a penalty as well, and absolutely solid all round. Kept them in the game and kept Everton to only scoring 1 goal. Beto, the goal scorer for Everton, did miss that penalty just before half time, but makes up for it, scoring another one. But West Ham replied by scoring 3, and it probably would have just been 2-1, but of course Everton laid on after Soucek scored, going for an equaliser, and West Ham just go on the counter-attack, Everton throwing numbers up and get that 3rd one to seal it. Overall, I thought Everton played really well. They were quite dominant, to be honest. 22 shots and 11 on target to West Ham's 12 shots and 5 on target. Everton, so many chances, but like I said, Areola playing phenomenally to keep them out. And West Ham, which all you got to do to get 3 points is just be clinical in your chances. And that is exactly what they did. 5 shots on target, 3 goals. That is what you love to see in any team, really. Again, disappointing loss for Everton, having that many shots and just unable to score more than one. But they're still 5 points above the relegation zone. And good news for them, this might have happened a week ago or something, but I just saw it today, that near the start of the season, when they got deducted 10 points due to financial fair play, they appealed it, and now they have only lost 6 points, which those 4 points that they got could be very crucial to them. Because in this moment of time, if they didn't get 4 points added on and only six deducted, they'd only be 1 point above Luton in 17th. So at least Everton fans have got something to celebrate about. But hopefully Everton take the way they played in against Man United, but just be more clinical. Hopefully they can do a Fulham against Man United at Old Trafford, but you don't really see it happening. But you don't really see the Fulham one happening, and it happens. So should be an interesting game, that one. Next game for West Ham. They are on 2 wins in a row now, looking good. Their next game is the round of 16 in the Europa League against Freiburg away over in Germany. Should be a good game. And I reckon West Ham will do the job over the two legs, but the game at their home will be pretty close. But I reckon once a reverse fixture happens at the London Stadium, they will do the job on them. Next game, we've got Tottenham 3, Crystal Palace 1. Crystal Palace score first. Eze, good to see him back at Palace. He scores in the 59th minute. Timo Werner, his first goal for Spurs in the 77th minute. Then Romero gets the lead in the 80th minute, and Son finishes it off in the 88th minute. Wow, I just saw the goals then, and Eze, what a free kick. Just hits it the other side of the goal, doesn't go over the wall, and beats Vicario. It does very well to do so. What a free kick. But sadly, Palace don't get anything out of the game. Tottenham win the 3 points, as you'd expect, at home against them. But it was a bit harder than they'd expect. And again, we talk about being clinical and Crystal Palace only having one shot on target, being Eze's free kick and score from it. But in the end, of course, Tottenham do well and do score 3 pretty late goals. They have 14 shots, 6 on target. So a deserved win for them and a good 3 points to keep them pushing for that 4th place against Aston Villa. The next game for both of these teams are very big matchups. For Crystal Palace, they play Luton at home. They are separated by 8 points, but if Luton were to beat them, it'd only be 5 and a lot closer. So you do expect Palace at home to beat them, but will be a good game. And Luton pretty much need to beat them. For Tottenham, they play Aston Villa next. A massive, massive game to see who is going to get that 4th spot. Aston Villa are 5 points ahead of Tottenham in the 4th spot, but Tottenham have a game in hand, so say they win their game in hand, they're only 2 points behind, so this game against them could be the change. At Villa's ground, I do expect Villa to win, to be honest, but should be a close game and should be an absolute cracker. Speaking of Aston Villa and Luton, they played each other. Luton at home 2 and Aston Villa 3. A good win for Villa. Luton definitely made them work for it, with them coming back from Watkins scoring 2 goals early on, one in the 24th minute and one in the 38th. But Chong and Morris reply 66th minute, then 72nd minute, and Digne gets a late goal in the 89th minute to win it for them. Again, a much needed 3 points, as any team at the moment. Quite a close game this one. Luton just really showing their class. Again, just like many games they've played this season, they're quite unlucky not to get anything from it. Not at least a point. But when you want to get in high positions in the league, these, of course, are the games you need to win if you're Aston Villa, and they do exactly so. Ollie Watkins with another 2 goals. He is absolutely flying. This now makes him on 16 Premier League goals, only 2 goals behind Haaland, 1 above Salah. What a season he's having, with 10 assists as well. Just wow, top form by the man. And I believe I've said this before, but he's definitely pushing Harry Kane for that England striker spot in the Euros coming up this year. So it will be interesting to see what happens there. So 3-2, Aston Villa get the win in the end. This actually make it their second time ever beating Luton. They've only played each other 4 times in their club's career. Luton winning the first 2 and Aston Villa winning the most recent 2, both of the games this season against them. Just shows, once again, Luton, their first time coming up to the Premier League, doing pretty well. But sadly, this makes it Luton's 4th Premier League loss in a row after some good results against Burnley, Brighton and Newcastle. They have kind of slipped, but still playing decently, and it will be interesting to see if they do anything against Palace. Brentford 2, Chelsea 2. Jackson in the 35th minute, Rosolov in the 50th minute, Wissa in the 69th minute, and then De Sassi in the 83rd minute to get that equalising goal and get a point from the game. Wow. Brentford, in my opinion, so unlucky not to get the full 3 points. In the second half, of course, they score their 2 goals, but they also hit the post twice. And, oh, mate, we've got to talk about Wiss's goal. What a bicycle kick in the box. Takes it absolutely beautifully to fire the ball into the net. But Chelsea's 2 goals, both of them crosses and both of them scored by headers. You could ask the question, is Brentford's defense a bit lacking in that aerial attack? But I don't think that is. I just think Chelsea, they had a fair few shots, 17, 6 on target, and them having a fair few attacking opportunities, some of them have to go in, and just a bit of a coincidence that both of them are crosses to heads to score. At the start of the season, you would see this result and you would be, wow, Brentford will take that in a click of the fingers. But before the game and showing the result now, they would not be happy with it. They would have loved the 3 points and they definitely could have got it. But sometimes it just doesn't go that way and they share the points. Chelsea in 11th and Brentford in 15th. Brentford's next game will be against Arsenal at the Emirates. So a very tough game for them and it will be interesting to see if they can get anything from it. Chelsea's next game though, which they could get something out of, Newcastle at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea seem to play really well against the big clubs. So I do expect that to be a really good game and close one. Newcastle, as I've said for a few weeks now, shaky form, that is for sure. But that's the exact same with Chelsea. So really anybody can take this one. I am leaning towards Chelsea though at home, but this game will just be whoever is most clinical will win. Burnley 0, Bournemouth 2. A bit what you expect. Bournemouth winning 2-0 against Burnley. Kluivert scores in the 13th minute and Semenyo seals it in the 88th minute. Bournemouth looking pretty good in a nice 13th position in the table. They're 11 points above the relegation zone, so I don't think they have anything to worry about in that case. It's just a case of how high they can go in the table. Burnley, though, on the other hand, sit on 13 points along with Sheffield United at the bottom in 19th place, 7 points behind Luton in 18th. And a tough season for them, really. Company trying to play how they played last season in the Championship. And of course, it did work in the Championship. But him coming up to the Premier League, the level is just a level above, to be honest. And I think by now, I do respect him playing his way week in, week out, but it's not working. I think he's got to change it up and Burnley possibly might have to get a new manager. But they back him and I do like when the club backs their manager and gives him as much time because I'm very behind trusting the process. But I feel like there's just got to be a little bit of change. Looking by the stats as well, Burnley look very unlucky not to win the game. They had 75% possession, 20 shots on goal, 6 on target, to Bournemouth, half of their shots and shots on target, with 10 shots and 3 on target. So Burnley looking like they played actually pretty well, but just, again, not clinical. And especially these lower teams, when you get your chances, which usually are few, but today Burnley having a fair few, need to slot them away. So good win for Bournemouth, expected, but Burnley, bit unlucky to get nothing from the game. Last game for the Premier League fixtures, game week 27, Sheffield United at home versus Arsenal. And wow, I'm just going to quickly skip past this one. Arsenal 6-0, they score 5 goals in the first half. Odegaard gets one, Bogle scores an own goal, Martinelli, Havertz, Rice and Ben White scores. So just a dominant performance for Arsenal, as you expect. At the moment, they are just rolling teams, scoring so many goals. In the table, of course, they're still in third spot, 2 points behind Liverpool and 1 behind City, but their goal difference is flying. They have plus 45 compared to the second best team in the Premier League in terms of goal difference, Liverpool on plus 39. And when it's very close at the top, Arsenal definitely want the goal difference there. And yeah, looking good. I mean, routine really. They are flying at the moment. And they now make it 7 Premier League games in a row. And with Brentford, like I said, coming up next week in the Prem, you expect them to extend it to 8. And that is all the games for the Premier League. Like I said before, bit different. 2 games focused on heavily. And the rest of them, just a quick speed through and my thoughts on the result. Let me know if you liked it this way or preferred it how the other episodes have been. Thought, change it up and see how it goes. Blind ranking. I've looked at the time and I think we've got enough time to fit in a beautiful current Premier League players blind ranking, a top 5, of course. If you don't know how this works, it is I randomly get selected 1 Premier League player. I have to put them either as my 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th or 5th player. 1st meaning the best player, 5th the worst. I will put him in a position. So let's say example, Leno. I might put him in number 3, a safe option. And then I don't know who's coming next until I've put Leno in a position. So say I put him 3rd, then next player I get is Rodri. So I might put him 1st because I think he's been really good this season. So on, you get a random player the next time, you don't know who's coming. So sometimes your list could be looking shocking. And last week's one, it wasn't too bad, I thought. Matt Turner a little bit high, but overall it was good. And yeah, this is very fun to do and it's a good listen in my opinion. So we will do one of those. This time too, on the website, I do it of all the current Premier League players this season. I'm going to put it on a minimum of 1,000 minutes have to be played. So we know every player we're getting is somebody who has played a lot this season. Doesn't mean they're going to be good. Well, it probably does because I've played that many minutes, but it should be a good boundary. Ooh, our first player we have gotten is Semenyo. The winger for Bournemouth, I think he's been pretty good lately. Scored in the game against Burnley this game week. And overall, this is the first season that I've really started to hear about him. And I think he is quality. I can imagine him playing for a bigger team and getting so many more goals and assists. Top quality. So I am actually going to put him in the 3rd spot. It is a bit safe, but I thought he's been decent. There are a fair few players better than him. And some players were, so I think 3rd is the right option. Our next player we have is Ross Barkley. He's been very, very good for Luton Town this season. And really just turning his form around back in the Premier League and killing it for them. He's got 3 goals, 3 assists this season. And just overall, he just plays so well for Luton. Definitely their anchor man. The player that links up all the play. And has he been better than Semenyo this season? I would say so. So I'm going to put Ross Barkley in second place above Semenyo, who is in third. A third player we have gotten is Callum Hudson-Odoi. Of course, the Forest player, English, and as of recent, playing really well. I think at the start of the season, didn't get very many appearances. He's played pretty well as of recent. He's gotten 4 goals, 1 assist, and he's not been bad for Forest at all. Very good substitute player, and he's only 23, so he's a very bright spark, that's for sure. Promising talent at Chelsea, then moving over to Leverkusen on loan. Now back to the Premier League at Forest. And yeah, a solid player, looking very promising, but I don't think he's better than Barkley or Semenyo. So I think I'm actually going to put him in 5th place. Now the shout would have been 4th, but I just feel like we're going to get a better player than Hudson-Odoi, and hopefully they're just a bit worse than Semenyo. So 5th place for Hudson-Odoi. But I do think if he continues playing regularly and continues his pretty decent form at the moment, he can definitely go somewhere. Our next person we have is Craig Dawson, a very, very solid centre back. Of course, 33, very experienced, but he played 25 games for Wolves, started them all. And what can you say, really? He is just a solid, solid centre back. A man who always gives you at least a 6, 7 out of 10 every week. So reliable. Been doing it for so many years. Absolute top quality. I'm a really big fan of Craig Dawson. Just, he's a no-nonsense centre back. Puts in the tackles. Is not afraid to get dirty, to get hurt. Very good centre back. Definitely a centre back I kind of look up to, as of most of these Premier League plays, but big fan. But sadly, it's a tough decision. We've got the 1st and 4th spot left. So it's either, do I think he's the best player out of all these players so far? Better than Barkley, better than Semenyo, and of course Hudson-Odoi? Or do I just think he's better than Hudson-Odoi and not better than Semenyo and Barkley? Now, my ideal situation would be to bring Semenyo and Barkley both down one and then put Dawson in second. But obviously, we can't do that. So I think we're going to get a really big player in the next pick. So I feel like I need to leave my 1st position open, and he's only just above Barkley and Semenyo in my opinion, because we're talking about current, not their potential or would I have him at the club now. But I think this season Dawson could argue being better than Barkley, but oh, this is a tough decision, very close between the two. But oh, I love him, but like I said before, I feel like we're going to get a banging player. So I am going to put Dawson in 4th and leave the 1st position for the last player. Our last player we have gotten is Thomas Kaminski. The Belgian goalkeeper for Luton played 27 games this season, started them all. And of course, we've only got the 1st spot left, so he is going to go in number 1 spot. And to be honest, I'm not horribly mad at that. I'm not completely mad at that. Do I wish we had a bit more like a Salah who was definitely 1st? Yeah, but I think out of all those players this season, Kaminski has been the best. I genuinely do. He has been such a good goalkeeper for Luton and kept them in so many games and kept the scoreline down so much. Of course, he has conceded a fair few goals, but you can't really help it when you're playing for a bit of a lower team like Luton. But for what he's done for the club and his form this season, I think a definite deserve number 1. Definitely a top, top quality keeper who's played some worldy games to even give Luton the chance against big clubs, small, middle clubs, you name it. He's top quality keeper. So overall, I don't mind the list. I think there could be a few changes. I'll run you through it. So at number 5, Callum Hudson-Odoi. 4th, Craig Dawson. 3rd, Semenyo. second Ross Barkley, and first Kaminsky. Looking at it now, the only player I would probably change is Dawson above Semenyo and Semenyo down. Just switch those two players around and that is a perfect list. But pretty good in my opinion. This one, very interesting. No massive players like your Watkins, your Salah, your Nunez, you know, your big goal scorers, but still all very quality players. I mean, of course they are, you know, playing in the Premier League. And that is blind ranking for this episode. It went pretty well. I'm pretty happy with it. A good list of players indeed. Thank you guys for listening. It would be very much appreciated if you rate me 5 stars. Do whatever you can to support the podcast. And of course, give me some feedback. Put it in the comments. Or even, if you know me, send me a text. Or, mate, listen to the recent podcast. Thought this was really good, but I also thought this could have been improved. So that is why we're doing it. Trying to get better at it. And it's going to help me in the future. And I enjoy it at the moment. So thank yous very much. The next episode should be coming out on a Friday or Saturday. I'm going to do a European competition special episode. So talking about the Champions League fixtures, Europa League fixtures, and even maybe some of the Conference League games. So stay tuned for that one. It's going to be a banger. And see you later.